Well, I came across a true saying this week that the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. If you don't go forward, you fall off. And I wonder, as we come this evening to Luke chapter 24, do we find these disciples of Jesus Christ in danger of falling off the Christian life, as it were? These are the days immediately after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The disciples didn't believe the reports that were filtering through. They knew he had been crucified. But then these reports were coming through, and they were doubtful, they were fearful. And they had met together in this room. John's Gospel tells us it was behind locked doors. And they're talking about the news that was coming, but as yet they don't believe it. And it's as they're in this room, we talk about the doctrine of the resurrection. They're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Could it be true? And obviously none of them believe it. And yet we're told in verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Here are men who had left Jesus. They had publicly failed him. Men who are now filled with private fears. Peter in particular had denied Jesus publicly three times. The others had failed to stand by Jesus. They had run away. All of them had failed him. And yet here we are told Jesus Christ stands amongst them and says to them, "Peace be with you." I love this. You know, we read this morning, if you were watching this morning's video, the reading in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says to the women, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Jesus, yes, they were failures. Yes, they had let him down, but Jesus still calls them my brothers. They're still his. They still belong to him. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I have publicly failed the Lord. Other times I've been paralyzed by private fears and I've let things get to me. But Jesus Christ doesn't stop loving us. Jesus Christ doesn't reject us. Here we discover that Jesus comes and stands amongst his disciples in these times. And what an encouragement that he comes to them. It's unasked for. It's unexpected. But nevertheless, Christ has a word for them. Peace be with you. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life when I've maybe met someone and they've said something to me just in a conversation, and I've gone away and I've said to myself, you know what? The Lord was in that. The Lord has maybe had a word of encouragement for me, or a word of challenge for me, or a word of guidance for me, and I've known the Lord was in that. And here is the grace of Jesus Christ saying to these disciples, as he says to them, "Grace, the peace be with you." Here is the Lord after the cross ministering forgiveness. On the other side of the cross there is forgiveness. There's peace. And Jesus here is not at war with these disciples. He's not out to get them. And he's not out to get you, and he's not out to get me. But if we understand his grace, if we understand his love, we will know his presence in our lives. So this is the first thing. Jesus wanted fellowship with these disciples to restore them to the place of full harmony and friendship again. The second thing we have here in this reading in Luke chapter 24 is that Jesus Christ has come through suffering and he has come out the other side. Now the disciples still don't get this. In fact, they think they're seeing a ghost. I don't know about you, but Barry's, the ghost train in Barry's is one of those rites of passage, maybe for many of us. Remember the first time you went on that ghost train with your parents, working up to it? Maybe your mother held on to you the whole time, or you held on to your father the whole time, and you went round that train and came out the other side, and the sense was that you'd grown up a little bit, you were now an adult, you'd survived the ghost train at Barry's. And these disciples, we are told, verse 37, startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. This was no mock ghost. They think this actually is a ghost, a real ghost. And that's why they're startled and frightened. I understand the Greek even would suggest they were terrified by the appearance of Jesus in their midst. But this is no ghost story, and Easter is no ghost story. Because Jesus is able, and yes, there is something different about him. Someone has put it like this: he was no longer bound by material or spatial limitations. He's the same, but he's different. And it's hard to understand the mystery of how he just appears amongst them just like that. There's a mystery in that. But he's no ghost, because he says to them in verse 39, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself." This is the bodily raise. This is the bodily resurrection of Jesus. He's alive again. His body has come back to life, complete with the wounds in his hands and in his feet. Remember, years ago, someone posed me a challenge, and I spent ages thinking over it. The challenge was this: what are the only man-made things in heaven? And I couldn't come up with the answer until I was told that the only man-made things in heaven are the wounds in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Jesus shows them his wounds to show that it's his actual real body has come back to life again. And then to underline the point that it's his actual real body that has come back to life again, he eats some fish with them. Verse 41, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. A little bit of fish that had been barbecued, if you like, and Jesus eats it in their presence, because ghosts don't eat. It's not a ghost. This is the raised body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, what an encouragement this is. You know, some of us have trials and troubles in life, and we go through these trials and troubles and we wonder about them. We read the verse in the Bible that all things work together for good to them that love God. But we wonder, what is the purpose? What is the plan in this? Some of us have hidden heartaches. Some of us have burdens that we carry. Some of us wonder in our lives the stresses and strains that wear us down. But here is Jesus Christ on the other side, as it were. Here is Jesus Christ who has come through his passion, through his suffering, through his death, through his resurrection. And now in his heavenly body, his spiritual body, he is alive and alive forevermore. Suffering, you see, is not pointless. There is a point to it. There's a purpose in it. And Jesus here demonstrates that to us. John Stott has put it like this in one of his books. John Stott had traveled the world before he died. He died about 10 years ago, preaching Christ all over the world. And he says this in one of his books. He says, "Sometimes in recent years, I have gone into Buddhist temples and I have stood in front of the statue of the Buddha with his arms folded and his legs crossed and that angelic smile upon his face, withdrawn from the suffering of mankind. In my imagination, I have turned away from that figure to the tortured figure of Jesus on the cross. And I have seen the pain and the sweat and the blood and the God-forsaken darkness as he bore our sin in his own body. And I have asked myself, which is the more credible of the two? I could not believe in a God," he says, "who is withdrawn from the sufferings of the world, but in Jesus Christ he has entered them and borne our sin and our death." And what a reminder that is, that our God is a God who doesn't sit aloof in heaven, but a God who has entered into our pain, entered into our suffering, who has shared in the human condition and thus knows us. And here he has come through suffering in this new body. Here is life from beyond the grave. And for everyone who believes in him, and one day they too will be resurrected. Those who have asked him into their lives, that they one day also will be raised from the dead, even as Jesus himself was raised from the dead. What an encouragement this is, that out on the other side of suffering, there is purpose, there is meaning, there's a reason for it. And lastly, let me just say that Jesus had now a job for them to do. They're not just to be a holy huddle. Jesus says to them that beginning in Jerusalem, he says, that they're now going to have to, verse 47, spread out, as it were, to all nations. Neither are they to remain and just be taught like in a lecture hall or a classroom. Yes, they will be taught. He opened their minds, says verse 45, so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. There's now a call to witness, not to be a holy huddle, just gathered around Jesus and being comfortable amongst themselves, nor to be just a classroom being taught the Bible, but now to go, to be witnesses, to spread the word, to tell the nations about Jesus Christ, his death for sin, his resurrection for eternal life, and that whoever repents and believes receives the gift of eternal life. I don't know, did you hear the pastor interviewed from Newton Ards Elam, who's been in the COVID ward in the Ulster in Dundonald? His name is Pastor Mark McClurg. He's a 40-year-old father of three. And he told about his experiences, and he's been all over the news about this and what it's like to have COVID. And as he was recovering and praying and in hospital and just lifting his heart up to God, he cried out to God, and he got a craving for prawn cocktail crisps. And he said, "Lord, I'd love a packet of prawn cocktail crisps, and Lord, could there be tato?" And he told, I listened to him myself on Radio Ulster, he told about how the cleaner came into his room, was cleaning around, and said to him one day, "Mark, I've got a wee present for you." And there was a couple of oranges, if I remember correctly, in a bag, and a packet of crisps, prawn cocktail crisps, and you've got it, tato prawn cocktail crisps. And that cleaner is a Christian. He belongs to a church in Ballymena, I understand. He had been a missionary in Nigeria, and now he works as a cleaner in the Ulster in Dundonald. You don't have to be a missionary to be a witness. And who knows what people that man is witnessing to in that hospital. In the power of the Spirit, Jesus says, "Wait here till you receive the power of the Spirit." And when we're in the Spirit, when we're listening to what God is saying and to how God is directing us, who can tell how he will use us? And there is encouragement here that this man was a witness and is a witness in that hospital. And who can tell who he's talking to about the Lord Jesus Christ? I encourage you, if you're a Christian, to be witnessing to Jesus. Also, may your life be a witness. If you're a husband, be a loving, faithful husband. A wife, be a loving, faithful wife. If you're an employee, be a diligent, conscientious, time-keeping employee. If you're a scholar in school or college, be a diligent scholar in school or in college. If you're a citizen, as we all are, be a citizen who is a responsible citizen, doing good whenever and wherever you can. Our lives are witnesses to Jesus Christ, as well as our words. We should just not speak, but we also should back it up with our lives. We should just not live. We should speak out and talk about God and about prayer and about the Lord Jesus Christ and lots of opportunities in these days. As I finish, are you going forward? If you're not going forward, remember, it's like a bicycle. You'll fall off. I encourage you to go forward in faith. I encourage you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you to practice fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And who can tell how he will use you in these days and in the days to come. Thank you for listening. And I trust the Lord will bless this word to your hearts.